Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want him to get no cut. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino on this hump day. It is a Wednesday afternoon. We welcome you in. Phone lines will be open for the next hour, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number to get in. You know it. You guys call every day. And we'll be monitoring Twitter as well. Hashtag Giants Chat. If you have any questions, comments, obviously, pertaining to the Giants, get it to us. And Paul and I will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and we will share your tweets with everyone. And so we welcome you in. A few things to note right now. As I said yesterday on the show, Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the Giants, is up in Bristol, Connecticut right now. He's doing the, as they like to call it, the car wash up there. And he's kind of touring around and doing all the shows, and rightfully so, because keep in mind, there's a chance that he could be on the cover of this year's Madden video game. It's come down to the two finalists, him and Rob Gronkowski, tight end for, of course, the New England Patriots. So I know you're not really big into video games, but this is a pretty big deal, Paul. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's okay. There are players in the NFL that have waited 10 years to be on the cover of Madden.
Simmer down 1 second now.
And for if Odell wins this, which, by the way, the announcement will be made 5 p.m. later on tonight, if Odell wins this, this is your second year in the NFL. It's pretty huge.
I think I know enough to know that the cover is a jinx, is it not?
It's not that it's a jinx. But
doesn't everybody get hurt after they get onto the cover of the electronic game?
Not everybody, but yes, the majority of guys who have been on the cover of Madden, in one way, shape, or form,
Gronk can have it.
Have
endured. We have the catch here. He can have the game.
Have endured some really a difficult season, the year that they've been on Madden, to say the least. But you know, he's in Bristol. He's making his tour. He's doing his own PR. I mean, he wants to be on the cover. I don't blame him. Do you believe in that, though? Most men don't. I mean, I'm curious. Let's really open up the phone lines. 201-939-4513, Giants fans. I mean, is it really a big deal for you? Like, are you really concerned if Odell Beckham Jr. is on the cover of Madden? Do you really believe in that kind of stuff? Or are you like, yeah, I want him to be on. This will be great.
How many injuries has this team had in the last 2 years?
Many. Many, many.
And you want to dance in the face of that? With a Madden cover.
Listen, more women are superstitious than men. Okay, besides Major League Baseball players, because they do all that the superstitious stuff, right? Especially pitchers. The night before.
Well, Wade Boggs and his chicken, too.
Or on game day.
Yeah.
But I'd say majority of women believe in that stuff more so than men do. Especially you. You just don't strike me as the kind of dude who would believe in that stuff.
I am very much a creature of habit. I like things to be exactly the way they're supposed to be at all times. And yes, I do occasionally believe in good karma and bad karma. And I know enough to know that the video game cover has done a lot of bad things to a lot of people.
So, needless to say, Paul Dottino.
Sorry, Odell. I'm not
Paul
anti.
Paul Dottino does not want
I'm just,
Odell on
I'm
the
just
cover
concerned
Madden.
For the man. Is that okay?
Have you ever played it? Have you even played the game, Paul?
No, I haven't. I believe in real football.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, that's one of the show questions today, because the decision will come down at 5 p.m. Eastern time later on today. Thumbs up, thumbs down in regard to Odell on the cover of Madden. We know where you stand, Paul Dottino.
Yes.
Also, Paul Dottino has a great show question for you guys today. I'll let you throw it out.
All right, folks, you know the Giants have had so many injuries the last couple of years, and there were a lot of key guys who got hurt during the 2014 season. So I'd like to ask you this morning, we've done so much talk about the draft picks and the prospects and all of those kinds of things. Which of the Giants players do you think is going to have a comeback season as the comeback player of the year on this team? Now, last year, you could make an argument that it would have been Will Beatty, who came off a horrific season 2 years before and then wound up having serious leg injuries and bounced back to have what I would consider the best season of any of the Giants' offensive linemen last year. Or you could argue that Eli Manning, who had the worst season of his career 2 years ago.
How many interceptions again? 27?
Yeah, and last year.
Who's counting?
Had only about a dozen. And really, really played at a high level, at a Pro Bowl level, and reasserted himself as one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. So I ask you now, this season, Prince, Beeson, perhaps, okay, Victor Cruz, perhaps, all guys who are hurt, Jeff Schwartz, perhaps,
right,
all missed significant time because of injuries last year. So who's going to be the comeback player of the year for the Giants?
And why?
Yeah.
And why? State a case for it. Make a case for it.
There's enough of guys to pick.
Let's have some fun today. By the way, really quick, Ben Z says, Giants chat, hashtag Giants chat. Giants fans, please vote for Gronk on the cover of Madden, hashtag Madden cover. All in caps, the jinx is real, hashtag save Beckham. Oh, Ben Z, you and Paul Dottino are two peas in a pod.
Which just goes to show you that there are believers.
Oh, here's Jazzy J-Dog says, superstitions are for morons.
Oh, my goodness.
So in a roundabout way, he's calling you a moron, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, I've been called worse.
Anyway, again, 201-939-4513. We just want to have fun today. And obviously, this is also the first time I've had a chance to co-host with you since the draft. So, and I know you and Schmel.
You're being fined for all those days you missed, by the way. I'm going to get new shoes for that.
I know that you and Schmel hosted the second round. And so I kind of want to pick your brain in regard to all the players that the Giants have brought on. Into the organization, I should say. But we've got a boatload of callers. I know we've thrown out two show questions. So let's get right to our callers. Let's go to Big Ed calling in from Maryland. Big Ed, what's up? You're kicking us off.
Wow. How you doing, Anita and Big Paulie?
Hi. Somebody's jacked up today.
Hey, I haven't talked to you guys in a long time.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
All right. Boy, that's some tough questions. Comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
Woo!
Who do you think it's going to be and why?
Woo! Man, I would love for it to be a couple of people. We need Beeson to come back. You mentioned him, so.
No, but we're saying out of all the guys that we've thrown out, who do you think it will be and why?
Hey, I gave you four choices. Maybe you've got somebody off the board, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I feel like Beeson will be that one. Why? Because his part to anchor that middle linebacker position is going to be pivotal. For him to be comeback player of the year, that means we're in the playoffs. Because that means he's matching well with what Spags wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I'm with you, pal. I like what you're saying, and I couldn't agree with you more. If Beeson does have that kind of year, the Giants are going to be in the postseason because not only will he be the captain of that defense and Spags is assistant coach on the field, but that will also mean the Giants' rushing defense is greatly improved. And, you know, we know how much that needed to happen during the offseason.
And the only way we can improve that is have a pass rush. We gotta have a pass rush. And who cares if ODB is on the cover of Madden? He's still good enough to go through. Forget the superstition. Please, that's a bunch of garbage.
I love Big.
You can still
big
make it. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
All we want is Victor Cruz healthy. 100% pal, healthy. Don't rush back. Take your time. This Big Ed saying so. I know what we're looking at. I don't mind. Hey, Paulie, I don't mind if he comes back during the break.
See, I'm going to text Victor right now and tell him that you told him to get healthy, okay? So we're going to make sure that happens. I'm going to text him right now for you. There you go.
Big Ed, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Thank you. He mentioned a pass rush. Kind of talk about the defensive line. Talk about, I know we're calling him double O, right? Because
yeah.
I'm still going to need about 3 weeks to pronounce his name properly. And we spent some time talking about errors yesterday. And I said, you know, I've said this before, the two players I'm really looking forward to this season that I feel need to turn the corner and I want to see big things from is Reuben Randall and
DeMontre Moore.
There you go.
Yeah. DeMontre Moore's a show-me player, as I like to call it, because he needs to show me that he's going to reach his potential, because the guy's skill set is out of this world. He's a double-digit sack guy, physically. But because of a number of things, foolish mistakes, some immaturity, perhaps just not getting the technique down like he needs to get, he hasn't become that guy. It's in him. I guarantee you it's in him. I've seen enough of players in 33 years to know it's in him.
Right.
And it's time. Third year in the league. Let's go. Reuben Randle, again, how many times have we seen flashes from Reuben Randle?
Especially towards the end of last year.
Oh, my goodness, did he flash. I mean, he lit up the sky, but it's time to do it for 16.
Right.
Come on, Reuben. You've been around a while. You got to give us 16 games.
But the defensive line, who are your starters on the defensive line? What are you expecting from this young third-round rookie?
I'm going to help you out. Odigizua.
Oh, okay.
Odigizua.
Oh, one more time?
Think of Pacino.
Wait, one more
time. Incentive a woman when he went, hoo-ha, Odigizua.
Odigizua.
That'll do it.
Really? Odigizua.
Yeah. Or double O if you prefer, because that's what they called him at UCLA.
Like double O.
Double O is cool. And he could be an assassin after opposing quarterbacks, by the way.
I think Zuha is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's all right, too. Right? Anyway. Odigizua, also known as double O. Here's the thing with him. And I've talked about this once or twice on previous programs, and I really do believe Charlie Casserly has a great point. He made it on NFL Network last week. I talked to one of my personnel guys yesterday about this very thing. It's funny you brought it up. And we discussed the fact that he is going to be used probably, even though he's a run-stopping defensive end first, and that's what he did very well at UCLA, he's got more pass-rushing skills than the Bruins let him use, especially with his quickness and his moves to the outside off of the edge. The Giants will ask him to do some of that because they're going to be able to utilize that in their scheme, especially if he's going to be opposite JPP in some of the rotations that they'll use. So he has the potential to be a better pro player, a more impactful pro player than he ever did at UCLA because they wanted him to stay at home and seal the edge and maintain the rush defense off of that corner. So you're looking at a guy, and I think, Anita, we may have talked about this. I know I talked about it with John at one point and Lance, that sometimes when you're looking at a player and a college prospect coming into the draft, you have to think about what are you going to do with him, not necessarily how he was used in college.
Right.
Because they're trying to win games at UCLA, and they're saying, hey, Owa, you got to stop the run. We need you to hold the edge. We don't need you to take that outside move to go after the quarterback. So do this for us. And so the unselfish player that he is, he does that. Just like Devon Kennard played all the different linebacker positions for USC, and people said coming into the draft, well, he's a jack of all trades but a master of none. It hurt his draft stock. The Giants get him here, and they say, guess what? This is where we're going to put you because you can do this. And they stuck him on the outside, and he became a really good edge rusher at the end of last season. So sometimes you have to project where the guy's going to be used as opposed to where he was used. And I think that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Odigizua. I think he's going to make a lot more of an impact based on the intel that I'm hearing and looking at the films and the cut-ups, Anita, and then seeing him last week at rookie minicamp. He has a quick twitch off the ball. I mean, as soon as that sucker is snapped, he's getting out of that stance and he's getting upfield. He has the ability to do it. Again, much like DeMontre Moore in that I'm excited about his skill set. Now he's got to get the mental part of the game down.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. Let's go to Florida. Vic has been holding. Vic, welcome. You're up.
Good afternoon, Paolo and Anita. How are you guys doing?
Pablo, I love it.
We got a good group of folks calling today.
Pablo.
All right, Paolo, that's in Italian. My comeback player of the year, I have to agree with the last caller, is Beeson, okay? And the other guy that I think is going to have a super, super year, believe it or not, is Reuben Randle, okay? I think they're going to be him and Odell Beckham are going to be super with Victor Cruz. In fact, I read an article on the Yahoo webpage where Victor Cruz is doing very, very well, and he's cutting and he's turning, he's mean? And, well, that sounds very good to me. The other thing I want to say is that, mark my words on what I'm telling you now, okay? And you heard it from me here first. Matt Lacoste is going to be an awesome player for the New York Giants. That's all I'm going to tell you. Have a good day, and I love your show, and I'll be watching you guys over and over and over and over. Goodbye, Paolo and Anita.
Okay, Vic, I love
Manja
it.
With that lunchtime meal. Appreciate the call.
I love it. Whenever Vic calls in, it feels like home. Takes me back to Miami. Talk about the tight end.
All right. I'm looking at Lacoste, and I compared him the other day to Jake Ballard. Because
really?
That's the kind of player I think he can be for this team.
Interesting.
I like his skill set. I like his attitude. I like the fact that he came from a big program at Illinois. I like the fact that he played a number of positions there. He played upright. He played slot. He played regular inline tight end. He played H-back. He blocks. I love – you know what?
I heard he threw the ball a few times.
Yeah, yeah. He's an athlete. But what I, you know what I really loved about it, folks? I'm in the locker room the other day, and I'm talking to him after practice. And I asked him about, you know, the different – he played some fullback, mm-hmm. three games of fullback.
He's played everything.
And so I asked him specifically, well, where do you think your skill set fits the best because you've done so many different things in Illinois? And he goes, well, you know what? I like to believe that I'm versatile and I can do everything. I like to catch the seam pass. You know, that's a big, big thrill for me. I like to do that, what tight end doesn't, especially these days. But then he said to me, I almost like to block as much as I like to catch a pass.
Coaches love hearing that, boy.
Oh, I wanted to give him a big hug.
Of course you did. Because you're a coach in another life.
Exactly. And so that right there really took this kid to another level for me. Because, look, you and I have both seen guys who 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 240, 260. Tight ends who had the measurables. But if they don't have the will and the desire to block either up here or in here, it doesn't happen. This guy's got that. Puts him a step ahead of a lot of other people.
How many tight ends on the 53-man roster at the end of the day?
Three.
So some competition this training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Adrian Robinson, show me player.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's the guy who's been put on notice?
Show me player. The eyes are out. You know, Daniel Fels is back, signed a one-year contract, the veteran who was here last year. He's going to be in that competition, too. I don't see them keeping more than three. But Lacoste gave me some really good impressions, again, in non-contact practices during the rookie minicamp. I'm anxious to see, you know, OTAs are going to be starting in a couple of weeks, and then we get the actual minicamp and the regular summer camp. Let's see how he progresses when they get the pads on. And they actually start doing things.
Quick note, yesterday with Lance and myself hosting, a gentleman called in about Davis, wondering...
Jerby.
Yes, wondering if he could play some tight end.
No.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Nope.
I mean, we're looking at, like, outstanding special teams gunner. Right?
And I think what will happen with him, he might be used a lot like David Tyree was, in that they're going to try to make him a Pro Bowl gunner in the mode of Tyree. He's already taken to Tyree's mentorship and wants him to be his big brother, so that's a great sign. And he likes to hit people, and he's very physical. So that's great. But he also says, hey, I'd like to be able to contribute as a receiver as well. His fastest unofficial time, Anita, is 4.49. There's nothing wrong with 4.49 in the NFL.
No.
You can compete with that kind of time. So even though he does look a little bit slow, a half a step slow when you look at his cut-ups, the time isn't bad. Let's see how he plays with pads on. But we do see, by looking at the cut-ups, he goes over the middle. He's not afraid to get hit. And he's got good hands. And he's got a terrific attitude. So, I see him in that Tyree mode of being a special teamer's first, but also then potentially – you know, being part of that depth chart at receiver. He wants to block. I mean, are you kidding me? A wide receiver who wants to block off the edge for running backs? Old school guys, man. That's what it's all about. That's how you win. Paul. That's how you win.
I got you. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, and of course you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Also monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We've got two, not one, but two show questions out there right now. Of course, if anyone's been tuning into ESPN today, you know that Odell Beckham Jr. is up in Bristol. He's doing the car wash and really kind of getting his name is already out there, but
I've heard of him.
But wanting to be the winner over Gronk, to be on the cover of this year's Madden game. So we threw it out there. Giants fans, Paul Dottino's a little superstitious here. He's saying he doesn't want Odell on the cover. He's worried about the injury bug that hits the players after they're on the cover. Curious how many Giants fans are. Based on the Twitter response, there's actually quite a few. Also, our other Twitter question is, who do you feel is going to be the Giants' comeback player of 2015 and why? I'm going to read some tweets here before we head out and take a few more calls. I believe Victor Cruz is going to be the comeback player. He comes back, and the duo with him and Odell Beckham Jr. will be the best duo in 2015, and that's from James. I do have one here that, this is from Ben Z again. My comeback player is Schwartz. This guy is a mauler, and a foot injury isn't going to stop him this year. So
hope not.
I want to see Prince come back better than ever. He's gotten better each year. That's from Mike. So just a variety.
Well, we should mention there's been some injury updates. I guess Prince and Victor Cruz were at a United Way charity? Was that, Greg, was it United Way last night where Prince and Victor were? They were at a charity event, and apparently a couple of riders tracked him down. And Victor Cruz says now he's at 75% coming back from that, you know, serious knee injury last season and the surgery. And he hasn't started to cut and says he's doing very well with it and not even seeing any swelling. So he really feels very optimistic, but again, I think they need to be very cautious with him. And then the other guy, Prince, was there last night also. He's starting to, you know, he comes back from the torn muscle up top.
Right.
And he said he's doing some weights and stuff, and he's coming along really well. United Way, was it?
Yeah, Prince won Hometown Hero.
Hometown Hero for Prince. Yeah, that's a nice award. And so he feels really good about his progress, too. So those are two of the guys I would think would be candidates.
So last night I attended the Robin Hood event at the Javits Center.
I saw the photo on Twitter.
In New York City, and it's a great event. They raised over – imagine – I mean, they're all, like, you know, very hedge fund, very wealthy, successful people in New York. Within the first 5 hours of the event, they raised over $100 million. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable money. But anyway, the point of my story is I was two tables over from Robert Kraft, and Jimmy Fallon came out to do a skit, and his entire skit was about Tom Brady and Deflategate. I've never felt so uncomfortable in a room before in my life. But it was classic Jimmy Fallon. But yeah, so I was at that event. Paul McCartney was performing, by the way.
Very
but
good.
So I was tweeting. Meanwhile, on Twitter, I was seeing that a number of the other Giants were at it. So last night, Zach Diassi actually was at the event
at.
But so there were a ton of events last night. But one that was really uncomfortable, and that was Jimmy Fallon. Oh, in only the way Jimmy Fallon can. You know what I mean?
Should I ask you to repeat any of them?
No.
None of
no,
them?
No, we're not going to go
can't
there.
Can't do any of them?
No, we're
okay.
Not going to go there. This is a Giant show.
I got it.
201-939-4513. Let's head back out to our phone lines. Let's go to Nick in New York. Nick, welcome in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Paul, I'm with you. Do not tempt fate. Do not put Odell Beckham Jr. on the cover.
This is hilarious.
No, I'm serious. I don't believe that. And that superstition stuff.
I know most guys don't, Nick.
Tempt fate. You know, it's funny how ironic how some Giants will reference the trend that every 4 years the Giants win the Super Bowl, and we, you know, we'll kind of say, okay, that's okay. But this, I don't even want to reference. I don't even want to go there. But that's just me.
Point taken.
But you know what's interesting? I wonder because really quick, Nick, he's going up against Gronk. And I wonder how Patriots fans, because obviously these two players, I think they're going to win based on the number of votes they get from their hometown fans, right? I mean, that's safe to assume. Sure. I mean, you know, granted, yes, there are a lot of Gronk fans out there. There's a lot of Odell fans. But how these two guys are going to win is like the votes coming in from New York or the votes coming in from Boston. I'm just curious how the folks in Boston feel if they're this superstitious, because the number of people that are reacting to us on Twitter right now are extremely superstitious and do not want to vote for Odell. So
generally speaking, I'm not superstitious, but this is one that the trend is too much for me to ignore.
It is. It's a pretty constant trend. Yes, it is.
I mean, Adrian Peterson was an iron horse. He gets on there. What happens to him?
Yep. Troy Polamalu. I think after Troy Polamalu was actually on the cover, it wasn't just 1 year. I think his entire career just took a dip.
I don't know. Absolutely not.
And you still want to go
this
there.
This team has been bitten by the injury bug how many years now?
Thank you. 2 years in a row. Most injuries in the NFL.
Do not. Absolutely do not.
Okay.
Switching gears over to my comeback player. I'm not a sexy pick, but I'm a guy who likes the old school, run the ball, control the clock, keep your defense off the field as much as possible. Jeff Schwartz. I want the Giants to become, you know, the Dallas North. You know, run the ball, play action, keep the defense off the field as much as possible, and go from there, control the clock.
Very fair pick. And quite honestly, I think I left a fifth guy off the candidate list there. Rashad Jennings could also be a candidate as well because, let's face it,
he missed
half the season.
It's true.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Oh, and Paul, one of the callers comes in, always tries to get you with old-time Giant trivia. I go back to 68.
Bring it. Let's go.
Do you remember who the Giants, when they traded Homer Jones, who did they trade him to? And who
Homer
did they
Jones
back
went
for?
To Cleveland after the 69 season for Jim Kanicki, a defensive tackle, and running back Ron Johnson.
You're ridiculous.
I thought that, you know what? You got me, because I thought they got Clifton McNeil in that deal.
No, that was not that deal. Homer Jones had a bad knee. He also had family in Ohio, and the deal was he was actually thinking about retiring. And so he talked to the Giants about it, and since he had family in Ohio, Wellington Mara said, okay, we're going to trade you to the Browns so at least you could be there, and if you want to play out your career, you could do it. So they make the deal. Ron Johnson was traded to the Giants because they had Leroy Kelly. Remember, Jim Brown's career was over in Cleveland, and Leroy Kelly was the next coming for them, and they had Ron Johnson and Leroy Kelly, and they were like, okay, well, Leroy Kelly's good enough, and obviously he was. And so they traded Ron Johnson to the Giants. Kanicki wasn't a bad defensive lineman for the Giants for a couple of years either. Now, Homer Jones, the thing about Homer was the first game he plays is the first ever Monday Night Football game in regular season play. And it's against the Jets at Cleveland's Municipal Stadium. He runs back a kickoff for a touchdown, and basically that's about all he did for the Browns that year because he was banged up, he was hurt, and then he retired. And that was the end of that. Ron Johnson went on to have 2,000-yard seasons for the Giants. Also had another year. You can look this up. He had about 950 1 year. But how about this, Anita? He had a 65-yard run taken back by an offensive hold against the Redskins. Should have had three 1,000-yard seasons. What are you going to do?
Did you know what you were in store for when you posed that question? You had no idea, did you?
No, but I go back to 68, 69, and I love hearing.
Well, obviously, you mentioned Dallas 40 when you first jumped on the show.
See what you did? You let the monster out of his cave. I can't help myself.
I don't mind. And that can segue into, I watched a lot of bad football, so I appreciate the good football we've had since the 80s.
You know, good stuff, man.
Since George Young took over.
Hey, Nick, thank you for the phone call. Really do appreciate
it. Welcome. Thank you for taking it.
This is from Giants Nation. Odell's not only going to make the cover, but he'll also have a dominant season. I believe that I believe that not this fictional curse.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You know, if I can,
I think we understood what he was trying to say.
Can I add something about that though? Because here's the thing. All right. Right now, the Giants are worried about Victor Cruz coming off of injury and how good he's going to be and how quickly he's going to heal. So you already got one wide receiver who's a little bit in limbo. Now, I think one of the things we mentioned before is that, you know, Ruben Randle is a guy who really needs to step up and show consistency at a high level for 16 games. If Victor is not what he's supposed to be, at least in the early part of the season, or if, for that matter, he's on PUP, Ruben Randle is really going to be called upon. He's going to have a lot of responsibilities on his shoulders the first month or so of the season to pick up the slack as he did at the end of last year. And so between the extra attention that Beckham's going to get and then the extra pressure on Ruben Randle, if Victor Cruz is not back and healthy, these two receivers are going to have a whale of a time trying to get things done. There's going to be a lot of pressure on them.
And I've been saying this for a while, and that is, you know, I based on the season that Odell had last year, and this is a compliment to him, defenses are going to come in and scheme and game plan. I said this yesterday when I was on with Lance. Steve Weatherford hosts some shows on the ESPN station here in New York.
Right.
And he was talking to Dave Rothenberg about the game against the Rams and how physically and verbally abusive they were to him. Mm. And you know, there are a lot of teams that play dirty like that. And I do believe that level of play is going to be elevated whenever a team does go up against Odell. If, of course, he picks up where he leaves off. And I think it's going to be, I think Odell's going to need the help from the other guys to step up and be a threat so that defenses can play honest and open up some one-on-ones for Odell. I think it's going to be very few and far between one-on-one coverage he gets this season.
It's interesting. Weatherford would have referenced the Rams game. You know, I'm on the sidelines a lot on
right.
the road games. And that was the one game last year, despite the fact that Beckham had had a terrific two-thirds of the season. That was the one game where I really felt the opposing team was out to get him.
Right.
I mean, they had an X right on his chest. And,
right.
And I, every time he took a hit, I was like, okay, is he okay? Is he getting up? I mean, that game made you feel like they were out for him. He was targeted. And, Anita, part of it is, and I know Tom Coughlin has talked to him about trying to smooth out the edges when he makes a big play. But when you do that extra showing stuff, it does tend to get the hair on the neck of the other guy, you know, all jacked up, and they want to take shots at you.
SNF Mikey says, Odell's the man, but I will be voting for Gronk because I don't want to tempt the Madden injury gods. Hashtag love G-men. So, interesting stuff.
I'm just saying.
201-939. More people are agreeing with you.
Okay.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Let's go to Steve calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Anita P. Dot. Thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing today?
Hi.
Great.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to be long because I really don't have that much important things to say. So I know other people are waiting to get on. But I had a couple comments, and then I had a couple questions that I'll gladly listen off the air. First of all, I'm going to just say this. I do not want to see Odell Beckham nowhere near the cover of Madden. Nowhere near, for so many different reasons. First of all, the kid has more than enough exposure as it is. Love him as a Giant and everything he does and brings to the table, and I'm so optimistic about his future. But I'm a little bit tired of seeing him overexposed everywhere. And if I'm feeling that, I'm looking at all the other players who work hard in the NFL. And I know that, you know, they're going to be jealous. They already done it for him, you know, with the whole stigma behind the cover. I just don't want to see it. You know, I just think that would just be the icing on the cake for a lot of people who are already, you know, jealous and gunning for the kid. So I definitely don't want to see that.
Okay.
Interesting point. Interesting point. No one's made that point.
Yeah, I'm mean, you know. We already knew he was going to be attracting a lot of attention just from his play, but, you know, he's been
no
busy
doubt.
All offseason. I don't know if you guys, I mean, I'm on his Facebook page, and every time I look up, he's, like, doing a video or slam dunking or, you know, just it's all day long, every day. I'm like, wow, okay. But anyway, so I think Ruben Randle's going to have a breakout year as well, but I also think it's a very well, even though Andre Williams wasn't hurt, I expect him to have a big, big year this year. I think he's going to have a more running yards than Williams, than Jennings. And I'm hoping we use him more than we did last year. Just for durability reasons, I just think the kid's ready to have a breakout season. But with that being said, I had a couple concerns, and I just want to know, first of all, do you all think JPP is going to be here for mandatory? Because I read something, I know Tom Coughlin's been testing him, but he doesn't seem very sure that JPP is going to be here for mandatory, so I want to know your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, here's – I know what Tom Coughlin said, I believe, at the function last night, and I'm paraphrasing that he thinks that he will be and that he has texted him and communicated with him, and there doesn't seem to be any fissure between JPP and the Giants. But, again, because there's business involved and JPP does have an agent, you know, he's going to follow whatever the agent's telling him because that's the guy who reps all his business affairs, and he's not going to want to screw that up. So – he's going to do what he's told, or at least what his camp believes he should do. I think the important thing to understand, though, is that there is no animosity here between JPP and the Giants. They're very happy to pay him the franchise tag, and he seems very satisfied getting the $14.5 million for the one-year deal under the franchise tag to prove that, you know, he deserves a bigger and better deal at the end of the season. Some players look at the franchise tag as a curse, and you know this, Anita, and they feel very, very
that's the word of the day, obviously.
Curse. Yeah, wasn't it? Well, hey, I stepped in there.
What's going on with you?
I was just saying, we all know it's in his best interest to have the best season possible, so that means he may want to show up for camp.
I would say, just my opinion and gut feel, I say he's here.
He posted a video on Twitter today of him working out, and he had these, like, I want to say he had, like, six, like, 25 or 50-pound plates doing that, and I don't know what it's called. It's like it's on a runner, and he's got to push. He's got to run with, and I mean, and he was like bringing the knees up to the chest, and it was, I mean, he was, I mean, he is training. He is working. That man is working.
Because I feel like that's the main thing we're trying to do is change our identity this year, and we certainly need to toughen up. You know, everybody said that from ownership, you know, down to our, you know, the position coaches. So, you know, that was going to be my next question is, you know, and I'll end up with this. I just wanted to say, first of all, I hope we rotate players more this year, defensively and offensively. I want to see a lot of players getting breathed. I don't really want to overuse our players. I don't want to see
You can't do that if you don't have depth.
Like,
yeah, but you can't do that if you don't have depth because there are so many injuries on the team. So first thing is you got to make sure the roster's healthy, okay?
Yeah, I know, and I think we have the depth enough to, you know, we got people who can return parts of things. That's,
I got
like
you.
That depth, we need to use it. So with that saying, for time's sake, I just want to know, last question is, offensively and defensively, where are you, both of you guys, where would you like to see, what kind of identity would you like to see, and what do you think the ownership is trying to develop as identity, where you see us offensively and defensively? And I'll listen off air. Thanks for taking my call, guys, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Which side of the ball you want?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah.
Figure that. But I do want to incorporate it into this, because this is a tweet from Dwayne. He says, I believe Eli will be MVP conversation this year. He's overdue for one of those seasons. That means 12-plus wins. Let's go, hashtag Giants chat. I like the comments that Ben McAdoo said this past week in regard to this offense. And I like his expectations for Eli Manning. And I'm with him. I was very, very concerned at the start of the season, if you recall, in regard to this offense, based on what we were not seeing at training camp, based on what we were not seeing in the preseason games. And let's face it, it took a minute for this team to gel. And, of course, when Odell Beckham Jr. was finally healthy and able to play, this offense had a totally different identity. Mm-hmm. So now to come into year two of knowing this offense, not having to think so much as opposed to react, Odell being healthy, coming in day one, fingers crossed with Victor Cruz, I'm expecting big things from Eli Manning. I'm expecting big things. And I like that tweet. And you know what? I'm on board with it. I'm on board with it.
You know, I think that one quick comment about the offense, with the offensive line being addressed as it has now the last couple of years, the power running game is going to return, and that's going to be a big part of opening things up once you get that smash mouth going on the line of scrimmage. But to the defense, which is, you know, more my side of the ball, I don't think there's any doubt that this rush defense needed a dramatic improvement. Beeson's health would go a long way into helping them out. The signing of Kenrick Ellis, the plugger from the Jets, a defensive tackle, is a very underrated signing, I believe, who will do much for this team. Hankins will continue to improve. I think he's one of the elite defensive tackles in this game. I love him. And I do believe that the Giants pass rush, with JPP having a big year, is going to energize itself again And I think you talk about identity. I think people are going to start worrying about the Giants D again. When they play the Giants, they're going to start thinking about that pass rush up front, because Spags is going to make those guys up on the front four be responsible for getting these things done. He's going to put a lot of weight on their shoulders, and I think they've got the tools to do it.
Again, I know we have a number of people that are trying to get through on the phone line, so I do want to rock and roll and get through them.
I'm sorry.
But real quick, I made a comment yesterday about Andre Williams. Everybody's talking about, you know, who's the player you're keeping your eye on? Who's the player you're keeping your eye on? Shane Vereen, many are saying the best free agent pickup. I actually think it's JT Thomas. Time will tell. Not a knock on Shane Vereen, but I like the JT Thomas signing. I think JT Thomas is going to end up as one of the starting linebackers. And in the first time in 7 years, I'm going on my seventh year here with the Giants, I'm more excited about this linebacking core than I have been in any of the other years that I've been covering this team.
Okay.
But for me also, I want to see how Andre Williams responds. Second year, he had the LASIK. I know your biggest knock on him was that you felt that he needed to improve his vision. Mm-hmm. And of course, beyond just his vision on the field, not just his
mental vision.
Right, not just his vision, but he did have the LASIK surgery.
Yes.
He feels great. And not that I don't think that he feels that bringing in Shane Vereen was a knock, but I think it's going to be a nice 1-2-3 punch.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he's going to be starting over you know, Jennings and Vereen, not saying that, but I'm excited to see his season this year. Because you touched on the rushing attack, I think that they're going to have if they could all stay healthy, they're all three so dynamic and so different in their style of play, that I think it's going to be fun for Ben McAdoo in regard to how to utilize all three.
That whole earth, wind, and fire thing when they had Bradshaw, Jacobs, and Derek Ward is really kind of the model for what I think they'd like to do.
Right.
We'll see.
Anyway. All right. 201-939-4513. Let's go to David calling in from PA. David, you're up.
Hi.
Hi. first off,
come on, my man, wake up!
I would like to see Odell Beckham Jr. on the Madden cover. I don't know why everybody would disagree with that. I mean, at the same time, it is kind of hard because I respect Rob Gronkowski, but I'm a Giants fan, so I kind of have to run my way. But I see a lot of things too with the tight ends. But just some things that I see they have. Lacoste, he kind of passed a couple drills, team drills, and so comeback player of the year. I would like to see Victor Cruz get it.
I think that'd be a great feel-good story, probably more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of respectful as, like, you know, while he was playing that Eagles game, you know, nobody was around him. It was just a self-injury. You know, coming down with a catch that he had, but at the same time, his knee just gave up. And, you know, but as everybody's seen, he was well respected. As, you know, Chip Kelly respected him too. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, I don't know. I see that hopefully we have a great defense this year. That's been pretty down. I've seen that for the past 2 years now, with everybody injured and, you know, second stringers, you know,
sure,
trying to step it up, and be with Beeson out and him leading, you know, the linebacker position and just everything like that, you know.
I'll tell you what, it is time for this training staff to take a break because they've had two really bad years.
David, thank
busy.
You for the phone call.
And, you know, can the injury bug really hit the same team 3 years in a row? Can that really happen?
No. At least I'm hoping it doesn't.
Yeah.
In regard to the defense, really quick, because Freddie, you're up next. Talk about the secondary and Collins coming in, Jackson. what you saw from him? Like, what are your thoughts about the secondary really quick? Because that's obviously that's the biggest concern with this defense right now.
Yeah, well, real fast, there's no doubt that Spags is talking about they need some more depth at corner and need to find out who the nickel's going to be, although he admits McBride had done a good job when he saw him on tape. As far as the safety goes, Landon Collins is a guy who put together that Alabama defense because Nick Saban told him when he was at Alabama, I want you to be the quarterback. They didn't put that deal on the linebackers. Collins at safety was the quarterback of the Crimson Tide defense, and you all know how good they were.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you a lot about what Saban thinks about him. Spags loves intelligent safeties. It's going to be a great fit. I really think he's going to start week one, and he's going to do a lot of really good things for this team. And I think Spags is really going to find some creative ways to use him, too. I don't think he's just going to sit back there. I think you're going to see him move around. You're going to see him on the blitz. It's going to be really good. And then Bennett Jackson, interesting because he comes off that microfracture, which is a hit and miss. I mean, some guys just don't make it back from that real
Steve
well.
Smith?
Yeah, I mean, great example. But here's the good news. Saw him at rookie minicamp, and remember, as a first-year player, he's allowed to participate. He was moving around real well. I know you're out of town, but I have to tell you, if I said to you, pick out the guy who had microfracture surgery in the secondary this morning as we were watching him work out, you couldn't have done it. Jackson was moving around very well. Now, again, this is shirts and shorts, not with the full gear on. You could wear as much as 15 pounds of gear on when you're playing football. So I need to see more. But I think Bennett Jackson is certainly got the potential to be in that mix with Nat Burhe and Michael Thompson, the fifth-round draft pick out of Texas. You know, and the Giants are still trying to find the combinations back there as they go through the summer.
I threw this out, I think, with John and Lance. I don't think I've thrown this out with you, but what are your thoughts in regard to once training camp starts and those final cuts start happening, there's another one of those other 31 teams out there that are going to be very deep at the safety position that are going to have to cut a guy that they might not necessarily want to cut at that safety position that the Giants, you feel, might bring in. What are the chances of that?
I do think it's something that they're going to be on the lookout for, and I do think it is possible. It's interesting you say that because in the 1990 season, the Giants had made their final cuts before opening day, and then all of a sudden they looked at the waiver wire as teams got down to 53, and Dave Duerson had been cut by the Bears. And Parcells said, I want Dave Duerson. And so they went and they brought Duerson in, and Duerson wound up being the dime in the Giants' defense that year, the 1990 season, when they won Super Bowl 25. And I bring that up because it's the 25th anniversary, and we're going to be celebrating that entire 1990 season all year long. So your scenario has, in fact, not only happened, but it helped the Giants win a championship.
So, you know, this is the 50th Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
So everything in regard to the NFL is going to be gold. You saw it, actually, in the draft. Did you see the draft logos? Again,
on TV, I know you were there, so you got inundated with it.
So everything Super
Bowl.
You got
gold specs today.
I know. Sure. But so everything. So anyway, so I went. I got a gold computer.
Oh, you did.
And I got a gold phone.
Yes.
So I'm ready. I'm ready for the season. I'm ready for Super Bowl 50. All right, let's continue. Let's go to line one with Freddie calling in from New Jersey. Freddie, you're up.
Hi guys, how you doing? I just want to let you and P-Dot know that the Madden curse is real. And I'll give you a couple of examples why.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
It goes deeper more than just getting hurt. Look, at Michael Vick was on there. Vince Young, Palomalu, Sean Alexander, all them players weren't the same after they were on the cover. Even last year, Sherman got hurt in a playoff.
He did.
So, Odell,
he did.
Stay away, please. Vote hashtag the Madden curse is real.
Wow. All right, Freddie.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. There's other Giants out there. This is from Giants Nation. All you Giants fans should be ashamed of yourself for being so paranoid and crazy, believing in garbage, over believing in Odell Beckham. I have a hard time reading this guy's tweets. I apologize. Anyway.
Did you see this one, by the way, from Big Blue Beckham? I guess Giants Nation. Is he the same guy?
Yeah, Giants Nation.
He sent a personal one to UI and Mikey Angel, says, there are no Madden injury gods. You need a psychiatrist.
Let's go to line three. Rich is calling in from Queens. Rich, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
First and foremost, keep number 13 off the cover, please.
Okay.
I'm saying this is like 80.
Or not that I need, but
80%.
You keep in count because it's really one-sided.
I don't think it needs to be even risked. But anyway, Anita, I know you and Lance yesterday had a big debate on Flowers and starting a guy that you draft number 9 right away.
I don't think Paul watched the show yesterday. Weren't you mowing?
Sum it up. Your contention is that you draft a guy at 9, you got to play him right away.
I honestly feel
100% your side on that one.
Thank you, but really quick, just to fill Paul in, because Paul might disagree and might agree with Lance. I doubt it, but my take was first round draft pick. To me, the way that the NFL is right, the way that college football is right now, how pro-ready these systems are, whether it's offense, defense,
right,
that player immediately transcends the NFL as a starter, especially if he's top 10, especially, hands down. That was my take.
I would be very surprised if he's not starting week one against the Cowboys.
Where?
Very surprised.
Where?
I think he's going to be at right tackle.
Name the five starters for us.
Beatty and Flowers at the tackles, Pugh and Schwartz at the guards, Richburg at center.
Okay.
And I would be very surprised if that does not happen. But, of course, if the kid comes in here and for some reason he's a deer in headlights and he shows that he just simply can't handle it, well, now you're talking about, you know, a different set of circumstances. But I think he is right. I mean, he's got to start week one.
Well, that's kind of furthering my point. I know Lance had, like, the corporate policy and saying we're not going to announce until we know who our five best guys are.
Now,
you probably know who your five best are.
To be fair, you don't have to
announce it a little bit sooner as opposed to later is, if you are going to move Pugh inside and you're going to have people playing different positions than where they have been,
right,
you want them to get the most work together as a unit where they're going to be playing, and I think that can only be benefited from by announcing early where everybody is going to be.
Yeah, but you understand, they haven't even had OTAs yet. This was just rookie minicamp this past week, so how early do you need to say it?
Oh, no, I'm not saying today, but Lance made the point yesterday that they don't need to know till the 13th of September, and that's where I'm going with. That's way, way too late. I think about by preseason game number 2, I think they should have it in place and have it all set.
Yeah, I think usually in situations like this, and Eddie, you've covered the NFL for a while as well, usually, okay, even in sketchy situations where a coach isn't 100% sure about who is going to start, he wants that guy in there by the third preseason game because that's where the veterans and the starters get most of their snaps. So at the very least, let's just say for argument's sake, if Flowers doesn't start the first two preseason games, and by the way, I think he will, but if he doesn't, I'm pretty sure you'll see him in there by preseason game 3.
I pretty much agree. I know that the third game is always where they usually get the bulk of their work.
Yeah, very
important. If they don't get a ton of work in game 2, I think on the practice field and everything as a unit, that should kind of be almost set by going into week 2 of the preseason. That's kind of what I'm feeling.
I hear you.
All right. And last thing, I'm going to hang up after this and let me hear your thoughts. We've talked about a lot of different position battles, and I've heard a lot of different ones. Now, I mean, with the safeties coming in, and now we have the tight end that looks pretty good out of Illinois. The battle I'm curious to see what you guys think about is at the nickel corner. I think we know where we are on the outside.
Right.
Who do you think is going to win that nickel battle? I'm going to hang up and let me hear what you guys have to say. Thanks, guys.
Well, Tremaine McBride, who played very well 2 years ago when the Giants had a bunch of injuries at corner, and then got hurt last year and missed a whole chunk of last season, he's a guy who has done some good things in the past. Spagnuolo admitted he's seen some of those tapes. He said, hey, he looks like he's been good, but again, he's coming off injury, and he's got to see him in person and see how well he has been able to come back from those things. Spag said he's going to mix and match. From the time they are out here working in OTAs, he's just going to, like a mad scientist, he's going to be just throwing everybody out there in all kinds of roles because he needs to see for himself who he thinks can do it. But McBride certainly would have the leg up on anybody else because he does have at least some kind of resume.
Here's a tweet from Nikki C. Who needs this Madden cover stress with Game 7 at the Garden tonight?
Go Rangers!
I knew you'd like that one. Let's go to line 4. Jason's calling in from Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Anita. Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, my thunder kind of got taken with the cornerback talk about... I was going to ask about that, but that's been taken already. So I guess the question I have right now is there any word on Flowers and Collins signing?
No. Flowers and Collins, to this point, no official announcement has been made about them signing contracts. But again, they were here during rookie minicamp. And you know, the way things are slotted nowadays in the NFL with rookie contracts, there shouldn't be any issues there. This isn't the olden days in the 70s where guys were holding out and maybe even missing portions of training camp. So I wouldn't worry about that. And by the way, about the corner thing, I should mention Spags did bring up Shockey Brown's name the other day.
Right.
Because he knew of him with the Ravens. And he did mention that the familiarity that Shockey Brown has with him could be a help in communicating with some of the other guys. So I don't want to be remiss and leave him out of that mixture, because maybe his work with Spags will also help give him a leg up.
Yeah, what's going on with Fenner?
With who?
I mean, with Fenner, Chandler Fenner?
Yeah, I you know, quite frankly, I don't even believe. Let's see, what are they? Yeah, he is. He is under contract. He is on the training camp roster. But, you know, I third-year player, which means he was not eligible to be here at rookie minicamp, which is why, you know, I didn't see him and certainly have nothing to say about him. He's going to be in the mix. What else? I mean, you got depth issues at corner and guys who are going to have to step up. And Fenner did show some things last training camp, I have to admit. He had some flashes.
All right. Well, I guess we'll roll into camp with the guys that we got now, and we'll see.
Probably.
So I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you for watching, and thank you for calling in. Your point in regard to Spags and his relationship coming over Jamel McClain, who Spags was the defensive coordinator for McClain when he was with the Ravens. Lance and I were talking about the linebacking core, asked me who do I think the three starting linebackers are going to be. I said Beeson, JT Thomas, and Devon Kennard,
right,
rotating in McClain. But do you feel because McClain knows this defense, I'm assuming, better than most because of his time with Spags,
right,
in Baltimore? How do you see this linebacking core playing out?
Well, I think what they'll try to do is work McClain at all of the positions so that he can be the primary sub. Now, whether or not he gets into a rotation situation, I think that's all going to depend on how Devon Kennard comes along in his second year. We think he's going to be really good, Anita, but we don't know that for sure. He only showed us a month. You know, we don't know. So let's see.
Oh, I know. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. You did well at the Kentucky Derby, didn't you?
I love the kid. I love the young man. I can't wait to see him play in this system. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think so too. And I know they feel that way. But, you know, let's just hold our horses just a little bit. And I think what they're gonna do is get McClain ready at all the different spots. And of course, look, if they keep, I think they're gonna want to keep in five linebackers on the final 53. So you're gonna need somebody like McClain, who's got the experience, the leadership skills, and the ability to play any of the three positions. He's going to be a very critical part of the Giants' depth chart.
This is from Ben Z. He's been tweeting a lot, and trust me, we love the audience participation. He said, I'm calling it. Flowers will start at left tackle. Beattie will start at right.
Flowers is not your typical, you know, look, let me go back. Flowers is a mauler, okay? And old school football says your mauler is usually going to be your right tackle because you're going to run strong side right, not your power game. That's where the Giants need the most help. That's what they're trying to upgrade the most in 2015. So it really makes sense for him to start out over there. Besides, this is a kid who only played 2.5 years at Miami and does have to work on polishing his technique. Do you really want him at left tackle? And this goes aside from even talking about Will Beattie, who has a few years left on his contract, who's making pretty good money, and who's coming off a pretty good season.
How many sacks did he give up last year? One?
I believe it was 3.5 or 4,
okay,
was the final unofficial total that I had him down for.
And no disrespect to Eli, but it's not like, you know, he doesn't have eyes in the back of his head like some quarterbacks do in the NFL. And he's not a great scrambling quarterback.
No.
So I'm with you. I would not want to see Beattie move from that position.
No, I would not want to. And let's face it, you know, you put a rookie in there who, again, with limited college experience, from the very get-go, Flowers is going to have some rough spots the early part of the season. Well, I mean, Anita, I don't know if you'll be in the box with me or not for some of these games this year, but
no, my arm can only take so much.
Yeah, there are going to be times that I'm probably going to wince. Yeah, I know. I'm probably going to wince and say, ooh, and you're going to see Eli take some shots because Flowers is going to go through some growing pains. He's going to have to.
I've already booked my flight to Miami. I'm going to go to that Miami Monday night game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be there. Flowers will be there for sure, and he's going to need a lot of tickets.
All right, let's take one more call before we sign off for today. And we have Mo calling in from New Jersey. Mo, let's finish strong with you. How you doing?
Good. How about you guys? How's it going?
Great.
Good, very good. So my comeback player of the year, I guess, a little bit different. He did play all last season. I'm going to go with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. More than anything, because he was hurt the whole season. I mean, he admitted that he was never 100%.
He was nicked up.
You know,
yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, that year when we signed a bunch of free agents, I think you could arguably say he was supposed to be our number one biggest impact player of the year. And it's not that he had a bad year, but he didn't have a great year. So, I mean, hopefully with the off season where you can get back to health, if he's at full health, hopefully we can see, like, a big contribution from him, like a Pro Bowl caliber. So I think that would be very impactful, especially with our secondary potentially being the weak point. If you could have, like, a real strong comeback season, I think that would help a lot.
Well, you know, you make a good point. I mean, he is a Pro Bowl caliber type of player, has been to Hawaii before, and because of the battering and the bruising that he took last year, he was never able to play at that level. Can he do that this season? I certainly hope so. I still think he's got a lot of mileage left in his tank. So, he's not a bad pick, but I would say that if you're going to pick a comeback player of the year, the guy's got to come back from a lot more adversity than DRC did last season. I mean, when you talk about what Cruz is coming back from, what Schwartz is coming back from, what Beeson is coming back from, they got a lot more taller mountains to climb than what DRC had to deal with.
Sure. I agree definitely what you're saying. And I had one more question. I'll hang up after this. But anytime, I listen to the interviews or the press conferences with the coaches talking about Eric Flowers, and they always bring him up as a future left tackle. I know Beattie's, I think he's like in his early 30s. I mean, I don't know how many years he has left. I mean, I still think he's a good player. But it's kind of weird, I think, that they don't usually like refer to Beattie as their strong anchor left tackle. They'll always bring up Flowers as the left tackle of our future. I mean, do you guys think there's any – I think it would be absurd, but do you think there's any weird possibility that Eric Flowers could end up at left tackle? Because, in my opinion, as the coaches, they should have a little bit more – not confidence in Will Beattie, but say a little bit more emphatically that, no, Beattie is our guy right now. We're not going to have Flowers.
Let me make something very clear to you, okay? Yeah. Will Beattie's 30 years old, and a lot of times in the NFL, that's a magic number for guys who you got to start worrying about with age or injuries. So in the back of your mind, you have to be aware of that. And I was accurate. Will Beattie has two more years left on his contract after this season. Okay? Now, when they drafted Flowers at 9 and all the questions came out about his abilities and why do you draft a guy so high, part of the reason that Flowers carries that kind of value at 9 is because he has what they think is projected ability to be a franchise left tackle down the line. Now, let's just say Beattie finishes out his contract with the Giants as their starting left tackle. That means in 2018, okay, they're going to need somebody there. Well, by that time, Flowers will be in his fourth year. And perhaps then he will be their starting left tackle. And you got to think they're expecting him to be a decade starter. That would mean he's got another 6 years as the Giants' starting left tackle, if that's the way they want to play it. So, yeah, I believe that it's certainly very possible and plausible that he winds up there at some point, but not right now. I would be absolutely flabbergasted if he's the starting left tackle this year.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think maybe if anything, might even be a little bit, but maybe a little spark under Will Beattie to, maybe even break out and have even a better year. I don't know. So something I was thinking. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I mean, it's been a really fun show. So really appreciate it. And just to recap, majority of Giants fans do not want Odell Beckham Jr. on the cover of Madden. Obviously, he wants to be on the cover of Madden. 5 p.m. ESPN is saying 6 p.m. Voting ends at 5 p.m. I guess the announcement, I'm sure it will break on Twitter at 5:05. But tune into ESPN around 6 p.m. I guess they're having a special announcement or a special show on it.
I'm holding my breath.
So that will be interesting. Are you back on tomorrow?
No, I'm back on Friday.
Okay, so it'll be Lance and John tomorrow. That should be a fun show for them. And in regard to our other show question, in regard Giants comeback player of the year, I mean, there were a lot of Beeson, there was a lot of Prince, there were a lot of Schwartz, but Cruz pretty much won it. It would be a great feel-good story. And I know it's something we've talked about often on the show, and that is there's no track record history here of a player in regard to tearing a tendon as opposed to a ligament, and coming back and performing in the NFL. So I think there are a lot of teams. I think there's a lot of doctors. I think everybody's kind of eyes on Victor Cruz to see how he's going to recover from this and how he's going to play this coming season. So I think it would be a great feel-good story, and obviously we're all rooting for him here at the Giants facility.
How about all five of the injured guys we mentioned come back, have terrific years, and make this vote very difficult? How about that?
That would be great.
Yes,
hey,
it
really, seriously, it was a fun show. Again, thank you so much for all the audience participation, the phone calls and the tweets. Wishing everybody a fantastic afternoon, and make sure you come back tomorrow high noon Eastern time right here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow and John Schmelk, and of course Paul will be back on Friday. Bye.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a get-go punt. Close to intercepted.